Today's shiur is Masechta Menachos Daf Lamed Vav, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, Amar Rav Shmuel Babidri Amar Rav, Vamrele Amar Rav Acha Aricha Amar Rav Huna, Vamrele Amar Rav Menashe Amar Shmuel. Tefillin, Meim Esai Mevarach Aleihem. From when does one make a bracha on the tefillin? It says the Gemara, Mishas HaNechosam. The Gemara in the Havamina assumes that after one puts on the tefillin, he should make a bracha. Ask the Gemara, is that correct? Eini, Vam Rav Yehuda Mishmul, Kala Mitzvahs Kulon, Bevarach Aleihem, Oivelus Yosin. Bracha should always be made before one does the mitzvah, not afterwards. So Mefarshim point out, why does the Gemara use the words, shouldn't have the Gemara used the words kaidim l'siyasim before they're done? To which the Mefarshim respond, if it would say kaidim l'siyasim, we would think that you can make the bracha much before you do the mitzvah, which is not true. You're supposed to do the bracha, make the bracha immediately before you do the mitzvah. And that's why the Gemara uses this word, which is not a commonly used word, over, to make that point that the bracha should be made before the mitzvah, but immediately before the mitzvah. Why should a bracha be made immediately before doing a mitzvah? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that the bracha helps set the person to understand what is he accomplishing with doing this mitzvah. And therefore, before you do the mitzvah, make the bracha to help you get into the proper frame of mind on how to perform the mitzvah. One pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that just like by Birchas Hanenen, a bracha on food, there it's very understandable that the bracha has to be made before you eat, because you're not allowed to eat without making a bracha. Therefore, the halach is that by all brachas, even when it's not involving food, the rule is that the bracha should be made before you do the mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Abai v'ravad amrit avaya, mishas hanocha, the bracha is made from when you put on the tefillin, ad shas kshira, until you tie it. So the Mefarshim explain that the bracha is made when you put, right before you put on the tefillin, that's when you should make the bracha. Interesting, the Tosfos says, that based on the Gemara Mishas Hanocha Vashas Kshira, that the bracha, this Gemara is teaching us that you should tie the tefillin, he quotes Rabbeinu Eliyahu, who says that you should make the kesher of the tefillin every day new. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees and says that's not what the Gemara means, that you should make the kesher new every day. What the Gemara means is that you put on the tefillin every day, but you don't make the kesher every day again. Interesting to point out that there's an opinion of the Rosh that differentiates between the Tefillin Shal Rosh and the Tefillin Shal Yad, where he says the Tefillin Shal Rosh, you don't make a new kesher every day, but the Tefillin Shal Yad, you do make a new kesher every day. Actually, on this opinion that you make the kesher new every day, the Mefarshim try to understand how can one suggest that we should make the kesher new every day. If we're going to make the kesher new every day, then it's not a kesher shel kayama. The tefillin has to have a permanent kesher. If every day you have to make a new kesher, as Rabbeinu Eliyahu says, so then you're not fulfilling the words ukshartem. So I saw a number of interesting pshatim. The shemesh, the Karen Oira, because of this and other questions, has a whole different approach to Rabbeinu Eliyahu's opinion. He says, Rabbeinu Eliyahu, who says that a kesher should be made, doesn't mean you have to make it every day. He says there's a mitzvah making the kesher, but it isn't absolutely essential. The Shema Shmuel says that the issue of making a kesher is only if you make a kesher completely new. But if you just adjust the kesher, that's not considered a problem. He says it to speak about a specific situation. He says, let's say I don't have tefillin and I'm borrowing your tefillin and you and I don't have the same head size. So I adjust the kesher on the tefillin. Why is there no problem that that's not a kesher shel kiyama? Because you're going to take back your tefillin and put them back to your size. So he says that since I'm not totally undoing your knot, I'm just adjusting your knot, so it remains a kesher shel kiyama. So could well be that Rabbeinu Eliyahu doesn't mean that you have to make the kesher new every day. What Rabbeinu Eliyahu means is that the kesher should be adjusted every day. Adjustment doesn't change it from being a kesher shel kiyama. Another pshat that the Eretz Tzvi, the Kozel Gavarov, explains, he says that it could be that Rabbeinu Eliyahu holds that a kesher, a knot that's made for 24 hours, is already considered a kesher. And therefore, Rabbeinu Eliyahu will hold that every day make a new kesher, and it's going to be from today in the morning till tomorrow in the morning, and that will be a valid kesher. The problem with Rabbeinu Eliyahu's pshat, is that we have an issue with Shabbos. We're going to have a discussion in our shiur today if Shabbos is man tefillin or Shabbos is lav's man tefillin. So if we're going to learn Shabbos is man tefillin, so, and Rabbeinu Eliyahu says you have to make a kesher every day, so how could you put on tefillin on Shabbos? You can't make a kesher on Shabbos. So if we follow the Karen Ayer's approach, that even Rabbeinu Eliyahu holds that you don't have to necessarily make it every day, he would agree that on Shabbos you don't make a kesher. But other achroidim say a very nice pshat. As we will see later in our shiur in Mitzvah Shem, that the issue of wearing tefillin at night and the issue of wearing tefillin on Shabbos travel together. So now the Gemara is very understandable. If you're going to follow the opinion of Rabbeinu Eliyahu, and you're also going to say that Shabbos you're allowed to wear tefillin, you're also allowed to wear tefillin at night. So you'll make the kesher before Shabbos, and when you have, and even though, because you're allowed to put it on at night, and there wouldn't be a problem of kshira on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda Soch, bein tefillah with tefillah. If somebody speaks between putting on the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel roish, chayz mevarach. He has to make a new bracha. And here we have a very, very fundamental machloikus, halach lamaisa, how to learn the Gemara. So let's get into the Gemara. Soch in, the Gemara seems to be saying, only if one speaks between the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel roish must he make a new bracha. Loi soch loi. Otherwise he doesn't have to. Ask the Gemara, Rav Shalach, Rav Chibre, Rav Huna, Mishmed, Rav Yochanan, at tefillin shel yad, oimer baruch hashem, kedushan mitzvosav, v'tzivonu lo haniach tefillin. Al tefillin shel roish, oimer baruch hashem, kedushan mitzvosav, v'tzivonu al mitzvah tefillin. So how do we understand? Here it seems that we have separate brachas under all circumstances, says the Gemara. Abai v'rav dam tavayu. The way to understand the Gemara, this way Rashi explains the Gemara. Loisach, if somebody didn't speak, mevarach achas, he only makes a bracha, lahaniach tefillin. Soch, but if he spoke, then mevarach shtayim, he makes a lahaniach on the shalyad, and al mitzvah tefillin al the roish. Before we get into the Gemara with the machlokes v'shayim, the machlokes halach l'maisa, the mefarshim try to understand why does the tefillin shalyad have, why is the lashon of the tefillin shel yad laniach tefillin? Shouldn't there be likshar tefillin, as the Torah says, ukshartem lois al yadecha? So the Bach answers, if the lashon would be likshar tefillin, one would think that you just tied a tefillin on and you fulfilled the mitzvah. But we know that you're supposed to wear your tefillin not just for that 1 second that you tie him on. So that's why we make a lashon laniach tefillin to indicate it's not just for that one moment that you're putting on the tefillin. Then we make the bracha al mitzvah tefillin. A mitzvah tefillin represents, because when you put on the tefillin shorosh, now I've completed the mitzvah because I'm wearing tefillin shayad and tefillin shorosh. So as I said, to explain it a little better, Rashi's opinion is that a person always makes lohaniach tefillin on the tefillin shayad. If he doesn't speak between the tefillin shayad and the tefillin shorosh, he doesn't make any other bracha. If he speaks, then he makes on the tefillin shorosh a mitzvah tefillin, which is the way the Rambam learns the Gemara, and which is the way that the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that you always make a lohaniach tefillin on the shalyad. You always make a mitzvah tefillin on the roish. What the Gemara means is that if somebody spoke between the tefillin shalyad and tefillin shorosh, then he doesn't just make a mitzvah tefillin on the tefillin shalyad, he makes both brachas on the tefillin shorosh, which is the way the Ramah paskins. But we also know, the Ramah says, because according to the Ramah, when we those who follow Minig Ashkenaz, make a mitzvah tefillin on the tefillin shel Rosh, according to Rashi, we're making a bracha of atala. That's why our minig is to say Baruch Shem Kvoy Malchus Eloylam Voed after making the bracha on mitzvah tefillin. And we also know that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that when somebody makes the bracha on mitzvah tefillin, he should not make it out loud, he should say it quietly, or for the same reason, because it's not quite sure that you're supposed to make that bracha at all. It seems that the Mishnah Berurah doesn't necessarily agree with the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, because the Mishnah Berurah discusses what happens if I'm an Ashkenazi standing next to a Sephardi and I make a mitzvah tefillin, which he doesn't make, should he answer amen? If the Mishnah Berurah were to agree that you're supposed to make the bracha quietly, so what's the question? Rabbi Kiv Eger, interesting Rabbi Kiv Eger. Rabbi Kiv Eger says that if somebody wants to be concerned about Rashi and also about Tosfos, what should he do? When he puts on the shalyad, he should have in mind that the bracha laniach tefillin that he's making on the shalyad is only for the shalyad. And by having in mind that, it's no different than soch, it's certainly no different than speaking in between the tefillin shalyad and tefillin shel Rosh, and therefore even Rashi would agree that you should make a bracha al mitzvahs tefillin. Baruch Shem, you say no matter what. That's what Rikki Vega suggests. The Mefarshim, the Prima Godim, disagrees with Rikki Vega. He says, one isn't supposed to do that. In other words, one should go, if Rashi says that you're supposed to have in mind, you just only make one bracha, one isn't supposed to have in mind that the bracha shouldn't be effective in order to avoid it. And therefore, the Prima Godim doesn't agree with Rikki Vega's advice. Interesting verse that I saw, that actually the two brachas that one makes on the tefillin, our minig that we make two brachas, represent two different types of bracha. The bracha on the shalyad represents a bracha ala mitzvah, birchas ha-mitzvahs, and the bracha on the shalroish represents a birchas shvach, that when mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the tefillin represent the special relationship that exists between us and Hashem, and that's why we make a mitzvah tefillin, we thank Hashem. And according to this pshat, the words Baruch Shem Kvay Machus Lo'olam Vod are very appropriate, because they too represent the relationship that we have with Hashem. What constitutes a hefsek? What constitutes a hefsek between the tefillin shayad and tefillin shayroish? So, the Paiskim say, anything that's l'tzoyrich ha-tefillin, if you're speaking because you're speaking about something that's relevant to the tefillin, is not a hefsek. Rabbi Kiv Eger has a very big chiddush, that even though we're learning now that you're not allowed to be mafsik, but let's say I'm putting on tefillin, and right next to me you're putting on tefillin, and you make a bracha laniach tefillin, my answering amen to laniach tefillin is not a hefsik, because it's all about tefillin. So anything that has to do with tefillin is not considered a hefsik. Many paiskim disagree with Rabbi Kiv Eger, because they say your bracha has nothing to do with my tefillin, and you're not allowed to be mafsik. Furthermore, there's machlokes rishonim. If answering amen or kedusha or baruchu is a hefsek, the minig is that we're not mafsek for anything between the tefillin shayad and tefillin shalroish, even for dover shebekedusha, unless, as we discussed in the previous year, when it's tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam, when somebody's putting on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, or, as we're going to hopefully discuss later in our shir, if somebody has the minig that he puts on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, but they don't make a bracha, there you could be mafsik between the tefillin shayad and tefillin shayroish to answer a davar shebekedusha. Says the Gemara Tana, we learned in a brisa, sach bein tefila l'tefila, if somebody speaks between the putting on of the two tefillin, averi hi biyada, it's considered an avera, v'chayzer lo mi'archa mechama, for which he should go back from battle. What is the connection between Orchei Melchama and Tefillin? So I saw that the Michtav Meliyahu has an interesting pshat. His pshat is that Sach ben Tefillah l'Tefillah is only the Rabbanon. Even though somebody only did an Aveira, the Rabbanon, he doesn't belong to be a soldier in the Jewish army. Others explain, it's based on a vart from the Gra. The Pasuk says, the Taraf Zeroya af kot kot, the Pasuk says regarding Sheva Don, What is this wording, says the Gra, Zroya and Katkat? Zroya represents the hand. Katkat represents the head. But Tarav Zroya Av Katkat, when somebody goes to the war, he has to be a person whose Zroya, the Tefillin Shel B'Yad, and Katkat, the Tefillin Shel B'Rosh, are put on properly. Otherwise, he won't be able to effectively work at war. Machlokes Rishonim, how do we understand this Gemara? Is it an Aveira under all circumstances if one speaks between the Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh? Or is it only an Aveira if he doesn't make another brach on the Tefillin Shel Rosh? But if he makes another brach on the Tefillin Shel Rosh, it would not be considered an Aveira. Actually, it's probably connected to the Machlokes of Rashi and Taisus. Beautiful Vart for the chart giver. Why is the Gemara so concerned about a hefsek between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh? So he says the Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh, those that say the L'Shem Yichud before the putting on the Tefillin could understand this, represent two very different concepts. The Tefillin Shel Yad represent that a Jew has to be a Jew in action. The Yadayim do the work. The Tefillin Shel Rosh represent the Mayach, the mind. The person has to be a Jew in his heart and in his mind. Hasach, if somebody doesn't understand that being a Jew represents both the Yadayim and the Mayach, he's a Oivra Avera, and he can't be a member of our Jewish army. The Kotzker has a beautiful Vart. The Kotzker says, here our Gemara is saying, that even though somebody did this Avera, which as we just said, according to some Rishonim, is an Avera that could be repaired by making another Bracha, goes back from war. Yet he says, the Medrash says, that before they went to war, they said to the soldiers, if you only have the schus of Krishma, then you have nothing to worry about. So on one hand, we see that any minimal schus, who doesn't say Krishma, is enough to be save you in war. And here it says, even if you do the most minimal Aveira, you have to go back from war. How do we understand these two seemingly contradictory concepts? Says the Kotzker. If somebody relies on the Krishma, what does Krishma mean? Krishma means that he believes in Hashem. He has a munim bitachin. A person with a munim bitachin has nothing to worry about. And he could go out to war. If you don't, however, have a munim bitachin, then you even have to worry about the slightest aveira of speaking between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh. Furthermore, I sort of mefarshim say, a very sharp vart. As we're going to learn, as we actually learned, Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh are two different mitzvahs. And even though they're two separate mitzvahs, here we're seeing how you have to be careful not to be mafsik between these two mitzvahs. Certainly, when one is doing one mitzvah, how careful you must be not to be mafsik in the middle of doing a mitzvah. Continues the Gemara Tana. Shemeniach, when somebody puts on the tefillin, meniach sheyad v'akab meniach sheroish, first put on the tefillin sheyad and then the tefillin sheroish, kshucholitz, but when he takes them off, cholitz sheroish v'akachol sheyad. First you take off the tefillin sheroish and then take off the tefillin sheyad. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Kishminiyach, the halacha that you should put on the Shel Yad and then Shel Rosh, Minir Shel Yad, Hakak Minir Shel Rosh, the Ksiv, because it's based on a Pasuk. Because the Pasuk says, first the Pasuk says, V'kshatim lois ayodecha, V'hadar, and only afterwards, V'hayil tatafais benenecha. Say the Pasukim, if we see that we follow the order of the Pasuk, so this question comes up on Sukkot as well. We have the Esrig, and we have the Lulav with the Hadas and the Ravas. So you have to follow the order of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, first creates Hadar, and then the Pasuk says, Kapus Tamarim. So it's important when somebody picks up the Esrig, the Dalaminim, he should first pick up the Esrig, and then pick up the Luluf. Elk Shcholitz. But now we said another halacha. The halacha is when you take off the tefillin. Chol Shalosh V'aka Chol Shlimin. First take off the tefillin Shalosh, and then take off the tefillin Shel Yad. Asking Rav Nolan, from where do we know this halacha? Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Rav Huna Asberli. Rav Huna explained it to me. Amar Kra, the Pasuk when it speaks about the Tefillin Shel Rosh, V'hayu L'tatafayis Bein Einecha, V'hayu Z'loshin Rabim, to teach us, Kaz Man Bein Einecha, as long as you have the Tefillin Shel Rosh, Yushtayim. So you can't take off the Tefillin Shel Yad because you'll be left with Tefillin Shel Rosh alone. Of course, the Mefarshim discuss, Shabbos Ari discusses this question, what would be the halacha if a person only has Tefillin Shel Rosh? Will the halacha be that such a person should not put on the Tefillin Shel Rosh if he doesn't have Tefillin Shel Yad? Or does our Gemara only mean where you're going to have the ability to put on both Tefillin, then put on both? But it's better to put on the Tefillin Shorosh if that's all you could do than do nothing and not have any of the mitzvahs. It's a big discussion in the Shagas area. Furthermore, and this is the halacha, because the halacha is that you're supposed to put on, take off the tefillin, you're supposed to put on the tefillin shayad before the tefillin shorosh. That's why somebody, when he puts away his tefillin, has to be careful to put the tefillin in the tefillin bag in a way that when you open it up tomorrow morning, the first one you're going to encounter are the tefillin shayad. Machloikus v'shaynim. What happened? For whatever reason, probably almost happens to everybody invariably once. Instead of taking out the tefillin shayad first, you took out the tefillin shorosh first. What do you do? On one hand, there's a concept of Eim Avirim Al HaMitzvahs. You have the tefillin shorosh in your hand. On the other hand, you have our Gemara that clearly indicates you should put on the tefillin shayad first. It's a big machloikas harishonim. Our minig is that even if you took out the tefillin shorosh first, put them down and take out the tefillin shayad and put on the tefillin shayad. Interesting shayla from the Har Tzvi. The Har Tzvi discusses the following question. Somebody was following the proper order. He first put on the tefillin shayad, and then he put on the tefillin shorosh. After finishing doing that, he realized that he had a chatzitza, he had something between his tefillin shayad and his hand. So he has to put on the tefillin shayad again, because they weren't put on properly. Will the halacha be that now that he has to put on the tefillin shayad again, does he have to do the tefillin shorosh again also? Well, he's already wearing the tefillin shorosh. There's no reason that it should be done again. Interesting shaila. So certainly, the Har Tzvi says it's not so clear what is and what isn't the chatzitza but the tefillin shayad that should absolutely require that you should have to put it on again. Certainly the right thing is to do it properly and even correct it. But if al-pidin what you did is satisfactory, you wouldn't have to put on the tefillin shorosh. But it seems that he holds that under all circumstances, if somebody followed the proper order, tefillin shayad and then tefillin shorosh, and then he discovered that he didn't put on the tefillin shayad properly, he would not, and he's going to correct it, he doesn't have to put on the tefillin shorosh again. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, tefillin me'emes me'varech aleim. So there's a very fundamental machloikus, Rashi and the Shita Mekubetzes, how to learn this Gemara. As I mentioned earlier, and as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, there's a machloikus in our Gemara, machloikus tanom, if Laila is man tefillin or Laila loves man tefillin. If night is the time for wearing tefillin or not. Rashi learns the Gemara, that our Gemara is going according to the opinion, Laila loves man tefillin. One is not supposed to wear tefillin by night. And our Gemara is discussing a situation that even though you're not supposed to put on tefillin by night, but the person is under certain circumstances, that if you won't put on tefillin by night, they'll be concerned. The Gemara is going to identify it. So what could he and should he do? That's how Rashi learns. The Shita disagrees. The Shita says, if Laila loves man tefillin, if you're not supposed to wear tefillin at night, then there's nothing to talk about. You can't put them on. Shita is saying that our Gemara is going according to the mandama that Laila is man tefillin, that you're allowed to wear tefillin by night. But even though the halacha is that Laila is man tefillin, midrabbanon, you don't wear tefillin at night, we're concerned that you may fall asleep and pass gas. So, since it's only in Issa d'Rabbanon, and here the person's under a specific situation, what could he and should he do? So says the Gemara, Tfar Rabbanon, Tfilim Amos and Mevarach Leim, if the person's under certain circumstances, what should he do? Mishas and Nechasan, Keitzad, what does that mean? Haimashkim Lotzis L'derech, if somebody is going to take a trip, and he gets up before the Amud HaShachar, or Mishyarish Shem Yoivdu, and he's concerned that if he won't be wearing the tefillin, they may get lost. And again, following as our introduction, based on Rashi and the Shita, there's two ways of approaching this Gemara. If you say that we're following Rashi's opinion, so really you're not supposed to wear tefillin at night. So it has to be very serious circumstances that would allow you to put on the tefillin at night. If we're following the Shita's opinion, so it's only, midaraisa, it's fine anyway, so it doesn't have to be such a serious situation. Menichan, put them on. And again, when could you put them on? Again, it'll be a difference if you follow the Rashi's Pshat or the Shita's Pshat. According to Rashi, day, let's just say a word of introduction. Day we know a Pidin begins by Al Mura Shachar. But for Tefillin, the Zman is not Al Mura Shachar. The Zman is later. The Zman is Mishiyakar. For when you could recognize your friend who you're somewhat familiar with, Dalet Amos away. Most Paiskim hold that that's 12 minutes later. There are different opinions that say it could be up to 20 minutes later or as little as 6 minutes later. So according to Rashi, again, here we have a very big nafkamina. According to Rashi, that our Gemara is going according to the man, the Omer, the Laila loves man tefillin. So before Amud HaShachar, you can't put on tefillin. It's Laila. So here we're discussing that it's already Amud HaShachar, where you ought not to have put on tefillin until later, but because of these circumstances, the Gemara is allowing you to put it on from the Amud HaShachar, and the Gemara will tell you what to do. According to the Shita, that our Gemara is going according to the man, the Omer, the Laila's man tefillin, even before Amud HaShachar would have the same din, because at night, midrash you're allowed to put on tefillin. So Menichon, put them on, the different times that I just spoke about. Ukshigiyas manam, and when the proper time of Mashiachar comes, Mamash Mishbehen, you should touch them, Umevarach Lehem. What's the point of the touching? The Rishon and the Rajab explains, because to make a bracha or niach tefillin without doing anything doesn't make any sense. Vad Mose Menichon, until when do you wear the tefillin? Achetishka Chama, until Shkia. Machlok is what Shkia means. Posh Pshat in the Gemara means Shkia, not Seis HaKachavim. There are that learn that Shkia means Hit Seis. But it doesn't really work with the Pshat in the Gemara. Rav Yaakov Oimer, Achetuch L'Regel Menashuk. V'Cham Oimerim, Achman Shena. Until people go to sleep. Machlok is we're showing what Man Shena means. Does it go according to your time of sleep? The people that go to sleep earlier, the people that go to sleep later. Or does Man Shena mean by the time that most people go to sleep? We don't look at each individual separately. So here too is Machlokes Rishonim how to learn the Gemara. Rashi learns that all three of these man the Amrim agree that Laila loves man tefillin. Thus the Machlokes is as follows. The Tanakhama holds that not only don't you put on tefillin at night, but you're not allowed to even be wearing tefillin at night. The other two Tanoim hold that you're not allowed to put on tefillin at night, but if you're wearing them, you're allowed to continue wearing them. That's how Rashi and the Rambam learn the Gemara. Other Rishonim learned the Gemara that that is the machlokes of the Tanakhama versus the other two Tanoim. The Tanakhama holds Laila loves man tefillin. And that's why as soon as Shkia comes, you have to remove your tefillin. The other two Tanoim hold Laila's man tefillin. Continues the Gemara. Amoidim Chacham L'Rav Yaakov, but the Chacham agreed with Rav Yaakov. Shem Chaltz and Lotzes L'Beis HaKisei. If somebody took off the tefillin because he had to go to the lavatory, or the Konos L'Beis HaMerchatz, V'Shok HaChama, it's already Shkia, Shuvayn HaChayzer, then you can't put them on at that time anymore. Amar Rav Nachman says Rav Nachman, Aloch Rav Yaakov. The Aloch is like Rav Yaakov, Achetich L'Regel Menashuk. Rav Chizda Rav Rav Huna, Matzl Ba'urta. With Davin in the Tefillin Ma'ariv. And as the Mefarshim explained, it's not that they were the type of people that certainly wouldn't have Davin Ma'ariv early. Ikad Amri, so the question is how could they? Ikad Amri, and Aloch Rav Yaakov, because the Aloch is not like Rav Yaakov. Rather, the Aloch is earlier, like the Tanakhama. Why do we say it's that way? Maybe the Aloch is like the Chachamim. So the Rajba says, because if the Aloch were like the Chachamim, then the Gemara would have said Aloch like the Chachamim. The fact that the Gemara says, and Aloch Rav Yaakov, and doesn't say Aloch like Chachamim, is a raya that the Aloch is like Rav Tanakhama. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that the Aloch is like the Tanakhama? Didn't we just say Rav Chizda Rav Rav Huna Matzlava Ba'urta, the Davin at night? If the Aloch is like the Tanakhama, you have to remove him by the Shkia. Says the Gemara, who pligi? They certainly don't agree with Rav Nachman. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rav Bavachana Hochi? Did Rav Bavachana indeed hold that you could wear tefillin at night? We don't have to take him off by the Shkia. Vam Rav Rav Huna, Safik Hashaycha, Safik Loi Hashaycha. If it's already a question if it's night, Loi Chayvitz, you don't have to take off the tefillin, v'lo'miniyach, but you may not put them on. But clearly it's indicated here, havadei chashecha, once the shkia comes, chaylitz. So we have a stira. Here the Gemara says, the Rav Baruch Huna, Davin Ma'ariv, wearing the tefillin. And here it says that by the time night comes, and as I said a moment ago, Rav Baruch Huna certainly only Davin Ma'ariv by night, he already removed the tefillin. Answers the Gemara, Hosn Baruch Shabbos. Normally, Rabbi Baruch Huna says, you're allowed to wear the tefillin by night. Here, it's talking about Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, he agrees that you have to take off the tefillin before it becomes Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, as I spoke about earlier in this year, Mikasavra. Let's understand Rabbi Baruch Huna's opinion. Ikasavra, Laila's man tefillin. If Rabbi Rav Huna holds that you can wear tefillin at night, and that's why he wore tefillin by Ma'ariv, so then Shabbos Nam is man tefillin. Then it travels together. Then on Shabbos he shouldn't be such a rush to take off the tefillin. You're allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. If, on the other hand, Ikasav Shabbos loves man tefillin, that he holds you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos, so then Laila Nami loves man tefillin, then Laila you're also not allowed to wear tefillin. So how are we differentiating between Erev Shabbos and every night of the week? Because, says the Gemara, the Mehecha, the Mamata Shabbos, from where we learn that tefillin should not be worn on Shabbos, Mahasam, from the same place do we learn the Mamata Lailas, that you don't wear tefillin by night. The Tanya, because the Pasuk says, V'shamata Zachuka Zois, L'may Ado, B'yomim Yomima. What do we learn from this Pasuk, says the Tanakama? Yomim, V'loy Lailas, only by day do you wear tefillin, not by night. Mi Yomim, some days tefillin are worn, but not all days. Prat l'Shabbos for Yom Tovim. So here we're saying that you take it off Friday afternoon. Why do you take it off Friday afternoon more than any other night? Divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Kiva Omer. Kiva says lo nemechuk zel pasuk bavad. This pasuk cannot be the pasuk to teach us this din of Shabbos for Yom Tov. The Tanya. And therefore nafkalei mehechta nafkalei Rabbi Kiva. So let's just first understand what the Gemara is answering. But the Gemara is answering is as follows. Indeed, according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, the din of tefillin at night and the din of tefillin on Shabbos travel together. And if you're not supposed to wear tefillin at night, you're not supposed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. Therefore, explaining that the Gemara, the Rabbi Rav Huna was makpid, was careful to take off the tefillin Friday afternoon, but he wasn't careful to take it off every day, doesn't make any sense. But, says the Gemara, we're following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that they don't travel together. And you could wear tefillin at night. It could be Delilah's man tefillin. But Shabbos is not man tefillin. The Tanya, as the Brice indeed says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Yochel Yuniach Adam tefillin b'Shabbos for Yom Tovim. We would think that a person may wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif. Tamal Omer, V'hoyel Ois Al Yodecho, L'Tetofes Ben Einecho. Mishet Tzrichon Ois, only such days that require ice, yotzu Shabbos is v'yom tovim, shengufen ice, that there are ice on themselves. So now we understand Rabbi Rav Huna's opinion. Rabbi Rav Huna's opinion is that Shabbos and Yontif, you don't wear tefillin. At night, you may wear tefillin. That's why every day of the week he wore tefillin by Ma'ariv. But Shabbos, he was careful Friday afternoon to take off his tefillin before Shabbos. Why is Shabbos and Yontif an ice? And it's very relevant, l'alocha, that should be the reason one doesn't wear tefillin on Shabbos for Yontif. So Tosfos says, there are two ways of understanding. One is because on Shabbos for Yontif we don't do work. And that's why it's every Yontif. And therefore, on the day you don't do work, that is the ice, and you don't need tefillin. That's one reason. Another reason is, because Yontif, every Yontif, represents the special relationship that exists between us and Hashem. And since the Yontif already makes that point, there is no reason to wear tefillin that make the same point. We already accomplished that with Yontif. What is the nafkamina between these two ways of understanding what Shabbos and Yontif are all about, Yontif is all about? Says Tosfos, the question, if one wears tefillin on Chol HaMoed, if we said it depends on when you are or aren't allowed to do work, so on Chol HaMoed you're allowed to do work. Davar Ovid, Tzarech Yontif. So therefore you should wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. If, on the other hand, what makes Yontif different is because Yontif is a day that already has a way of commemorating our special relationship with Hashem, so that exists on Chol HaMoed as well, and you wouldn't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. We know that this question of wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed is a big machlokes, a lot of different menhagim. Even those that do wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed don't make a bracha on it. And furthermore, once you come to Halil and Musaf, certainly you don't wear tefillin even on Chol HaMoed. Interesting word from the Avodram. The Avodram says that the minig is, and we see this minig, that when somebody comes to a bris, he wears the tefillin by the bris. The father, the sandik, should wear the tefillin by the bris. Ask the Avodram, based on our Gemara, we should actually say just the opposite. Because the Gemara is saying that once you have an ois, you don't need another ois. So bris milah is an ice. So why do we have to wear tefillin? We should take off the tefillin. We have the bris milah. So Avadram answers a beautiful teretz. He says, if tefillin is an ice, so why do you ever have to wear tefillin? Every Jewish man has the bris milah all of the time. The answer is, because we know what a pasuk says, apishnei edim yakum dover. You have to have two edim. So on Shabbos, on Yontif, what are the two edim? What are the two ices? The milah that we have in our bodies, and the Shabbos, and the Yontif. During the week, yes, we start off automatically with one. What's the one we begin with? The one we begin with is the milah. But that's not enough, because apishnei edim. You need two ices. What's the second one? The tefillin. So that's why just the opposite, says the Avadram, you should wear the tefillin together with the milah, and like that the two edim come together. Continues the Gemara. Arav Elazar says, kol ha'menach tefillin achar shkiyas chama. Anybody puts on tefillin after the shkia, over be'asay. He's violated asay. Rabbi Yochanan says he's over be'lav. Says the Gemara, perhaps, lema, they're arguing over the following concept. Lema Rav Avin Amar Avu Kamufki. Dom Rav Avin Amar Bela. Kamakam Shnem Pen Ve'al. Wherever the Torah uses the word Hashamar or Pen and Al. And a Laisa say. So here too, the Torah says the word Hashamar regarding Tefillin. So the question is, how to understand that Pasuk? Says the Gemara. The Mar Islay Rav Avin. And therefore, since the Torah uses the word Hishamer regarding tefillin, somebody doesn't put on tefillin the right time, is over a laugh. Shinema, the ma isle the rav oven. Umar, the one that says it's over an essay, only less le the rav oven. Says the more, it's not compelling. Because it could well be the kula am isle the rav oven. Everybody agrees with rav oven that if the Torah uses the word Hishamer pen va'al, it means a laugh. V'hocha, what is the machloikus here? Machlokes here is about the following. Masav Hashamar the lav lav. Just because the Torah uses the word Hashamar does not make it into a lav unless it's regarding a mitzvah slice say. Tefillin is not a mitzvah slice say. Tefillin is a mitzvah say. The Hashamar the essay is in the category of an essay. Masavar, and the other man says that even though Tefillin is a mitzvah say, as soon as the Torah uses the word Hashamar the essay, it falls into the category of a lav. Vomer Reb Elazar. Vim l'shamram, if somebody puts on the tefillin by night, because that's the only way they'll be properly protected, that is permitted. Mutter. Vamar vina. Have you seen the kamei Rav Ashi? I was once sitting in front of Rav Ashi, the chashach, and it got dark, the niach tefillin. And he put on the tefillin. Vamar l'shamram kaboy l'mar. Are you putting him on because you have no other way to protect him? Vamar, and he responded in. However, says the Gemara v'chazitz iladate, I saw the lal l'shamar hu bayi. He really didn't put it on just to protect them. He really held halacha, that the halacha is the lailas mantfilin. However, v'ein marim ken. We don't publicize this psak, as we said earlier in the shir. For there's a concern that if we allow people to wear tefillin by night, they may come to sleep and pass gas while they're sleeping in them. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Rav Huna, Chayiv Adam L'mashim Shetfilin B'Kol Shal. A person has to touch his tefillin all of the time. Because we make the following Kal V'Chaymer from a tzitz. Ma tzitz, the tzitz, She'ena El Asgar Achas. The tzitz it says, Kodesh L'Hashem. So it only, Hashem's name only appears once. Amar Torah says the Torah, V'Hoya Al Mitzchei Tamid. He has to constantly think about it. The kohen gadol has to think about the tzitz all of the time. Tefillin, sheyesh by askaras harbe, the tefillin that the name of Hashem is mentioned so many numerous times in all of the parashiyos, alachas kam v'kama, a person has to be thinking about Hashem's name. So the mefarshim asked the obvious question. Here we're saying that a person is not supposed to be mesiach das from the tefillin. If a person is not supposed to be mesiach das from the tefillin, but what are we doing in the tefillin? We daven in the tefillin. So how are you thinking about davening and being Messiah Das? And not being Messiah Das. You're supposed to concentrate on the words of the tefillah. So how do we accomplish both? So because of that question, there are two different approaches in the Rishonim. One approach in the Rishonim is indeed, a person can only do one thing at a time. And indeed, he could only wear tefillin. He has to daven. And when he's davening, he can't think. And we can't expect him to think. Others, however, explain that that's not the way to understand Chayv Adam to think about the tefillin all the time. Rather, the Mefarshim explain what the Gemara means is that because the tefillin have in them the Shem Hashem, we have to be careful not to act b'schoit v'kalas roish, not to act in a not respectful way while we're wearing the tefillin. And therefore, as long as we're acting in an appropriate manner, certainly davening, learning is an appropriate manner, then you're allowed to wear the tefillin even though you're not thinking about them because you're thinking about your davening, you're thinking about the learning. What is the nafka mina between these two approaches? There's a very big nafka mina, la loch lamaisa. Is a person allowed to wear the tefillin when he's not davening? If we're going to learn that really you're supposed to be thinking about tefillin all the time, but you also have to think about the davening. So while you're davening, there's a heter of oisik b'mitzvah, potam and a mitzvah. When you're not davening, you don't have that heter. So if you can't think about the tefillin because you're busy with something else, take them off. If we're going to say, however, that pshat in this gemara is that the gemara demands that we treat the tefillin respectfully, and as long as we're wearing the tefillin, we're doing something that's respectful, that is fulfilling what this gemara means, then you could do anything as long as it's a respectful activity. Learning or something like that would not be contradictory to the our gemara. There's a very sharp vart for the Emri Emes. It says, if when somebody is wearing tefillin, so the wearing of tefillin, as we've been learning in our entire shir, represent the special relationship that exists between us and Hashem. So the tefillin are on your head and reminds you of Hashem. Certainly when you're not wearing tefillin, you have to think about Hashem because you don't have the tefillin that show you that relationship. Pnei Menachem says a beautiful vart. We know, he says, that the Gemara says that just like Klal Yisrael wears tefillin, Hashem wears tefillin. And just like the Gemara says that when we're wearing tefillin, it's not just that you're wearing the tefillin, but you have to think about Hashem. The same thing is when Hashem's wearing tefillin, what does that represent? That Hashem is thinking about Klal Yisrael all the time. The special relationship that Hashem thinks and has Hashgacha Pratis on Klal Yisrael.